Let's take our Bibles and open to Acts chapter 10. I don't remember now what side we're on, but we'll begin with Sister Johanna, all right? Acts 10.
At Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort. A devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people and prayed continually to God.
One day, at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius.
Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. The angel answered, Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God.
Now send them to Joppa and bring one Simon who is called Peter.
He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea.
The angel who spoke to him had gone. When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants.
He told them everything that had happened in 7th of Joppa.
About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up to the roof to pray.
And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance.
He saw heaven open and something coming down. It looked like a big sheet being lowered to earth by its four corners.
Verse 12.
Yes.
In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air.
And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat.
Surely not, Lord, Peter replied. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean.
And the voice spoke unto him again, the second time, What God has cleansed, that call not thou common.
This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven.
Now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate.
Verse 18. They asked if a man named Simon Peter was staying there.
Meanwhile, as Peter was
puzzling
over the reading, the Holy Spirit said to him, Three men have come looking for you.
Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing. For I have sent them.
Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come?
They said, We were sent by Cornelius, a Roman officer. He is a devout and God-fearing man, well respected by all the Jews. A holy angel instructed him to summon you to his house so that he can hear your message.
Then Peter invited the man into the house to be his guest. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along.
Becky?
And on the following day, they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends.
And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him.
But Peter lifted him up, saying, Stand up, I too am a man.
Then as he talked with him, he went in and found many, many persons gathered.
And he said unto them, Ye know that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean.
Therefore I came without objection. As soon as I was sent for, I asked them, For what reason have you sent for me?
And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me and bright clothing,
and said, your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. And said Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor.
Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He's lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you.
So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. And Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism.
All right, I'll finish it out. Is that okay? All right. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him gave all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. So as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Now I know that's a little bit lengthy chapter, but I think there's a story here that's filled with so much truth for us. We could go to the end of the chapter where you could see the result. You know, I remember reading this recently in the Faith Home with the other ministers, and we kind of said to one another, wouldn't it be nice if we could just preach a sermon like Peter, and as we're speaking, the Holy Spirit would fall. What was it about what Peter said that caused that to happen just the way it did? It doesn't seem to be an extraordinary sermon. It doesn't seem to be, he didn't even speak really much about the Holy Spirit or the Holy Spirit coming to them. He spoke about Jesus, but something was taking place. But then as I began to think about the story, it really impressed me that these hearts, these in Cornelius' household and Cornelius himself, were prepared for what God wanted to do. It didn't just happen. If you go back to the very beginning of the chapter, of the story, it tells us something about Cornelius. What does it tell us about Cornelius? What kind of man was he? He was devout. He was devoted. Now you have to understand that he was not a believer in Jesus Christ. So what was he devoted to? He was devoted to the Jewish faith, the Jewish understanding of who God was. Now, was he a Jew?
No,
he was a Roman. And yet he did the three things that every good Jewish person would do. He prayed, he fasted, and he gave to the poor. He did those things, I'm going to say, religiously, so to speak. He did it, though, with devotion. And it says not only he, but his whole household. His whole household feared God. Yeah. Now, I don't know why he never really met Jesus, you know, so to speak, in those years that Jesus walked the earth. But he was prepared to meet Jesus and to receive this gift that God had for him, the gift of salvation and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then the story goes on. He's praying and he has this vision, and an angel appears to him and says, "Your prayers and your gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial before God. God's taken notice of you, Cornelius. He sees your heart. He sees that you fear him. He sees that you're seeking after him." Now, what was he doing while he saw this vision? What was he doing? Well, you have to read a little bit, you know, later on in the chapter, but it tells us when he relates the story to Peter, he says, "I was fasting until that hour of the day. I was seeking God, and God sent his angel to tell me to send for you." And then we know the story, how he sends his men to Peter, and as Peter is on the rooftop waiting for a meal to be prepared, he has a vision. He falls into a trance, and he sees this vision, and three times a sheet is let down with all these unclean animals, and the voice says, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And he says, "Lord, you know these things are unclean. I've never eaten anything unclean." Three times that happens. And then the sheet is taken up. The vision goes from him. And as that vision departs from him, there's a knock on the door. And we're looking for Peter. And okay, come in. And so on. And they stay with him. And we're just trying to fast forward a little bit. You know the story. We just read it. But what takes place now when Peter goes to the house of Cornelius? What takes place? The first thing that we notice is that when he comes, Cornelius has invited. Who has he invited to this gathering? It says all his relatives and his friends. Mm-hmm. Now, do you think if an angel came to you and said, you know, "Send for a man named Peter, and he's going to come to your house, and he's going to speak to you words that I've commanded him to say," who would you invite? Would you invite your friends? Would you invite your relatives? I think it was something that really gripped his heart. God has something to say to me. God has something to say to us. You know, our brother Stephen has been talking about expectancy, that we ought to come with expectant faith. And I think verse 33, I said, what was significant about Cornelius' statement in verse 33? Let's just look at verse 33 together, because I think this is so important to what took place later on. It says this about them: "Immediately therefore I sent to thee," this is Cornelius speaking, "and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." Now I just think the blessing of God, as it is bestowed upon God's people, there's really two aspects, maybe three aspects to it. But let's look at the aspects that we are involved in, so to speak. Peter, first of all, had to be obedient, right? Did he have any little prejudice, you think, in his heart? I mean, he says, "You know, I'm not even supposed to come into your house. I'm a Jew, and you're a Gentile," and without saying it, he's saying, "We're somewhat, you know, better than you. And we've got a better connection with God, and so that's why I'm not even allowed to come into your house. But God showed me that he's no respecter of persons, so if God shows this to me, I need to obey him." And so you see, first of all, the obedience of Peter. Peter had to obey God rather than, you know, it was interesting, he brought some brothers from Jerusalem with him, right? And you find that Peter had this struggle throughout his life later on also, this thing of separating himself from the Gentiles and associating, not associating with. But in this case, he obeyed God and did what God had asked him to do. That vision had prepared him for this. God is no respecter of person. He doesn't have favorites. "And so I'm come because God has sent me." But then, that's Peter, right? Peter had to obey. But what about these people? the people in Cornelius' household and Cornelius himself understood that, first of all, God was present. We are all here present before God to hear what God has commanded you to say to us. Now, just put those two together for us. How does that relate to us? When you go to church, whether you go Sunday or you go midweek or you go more than one, when you go to church, do you come with this attitude? God, I am present here before you to hear all that God has commanded whoever it is, the teacher, the pastor, the preacher, to say. I think if we came with that attitude, and if the preacher or the teacher or the pastor had a word from God and knew that God had sent them and was obedient to the Holy Spirit and what they said, you think God's blessing would fall time and time again? Yes. I think so. This is a wonderful dynamic. It creates an atmosphere for God to work. Now, God can work at any time, right? We know that. But somehow he's linked our faith and our expectancy and our obedience to what he wants to do for his people. Did you get that? Our faith, our expectancy, our obedience are somehow tied to God's blessing. The other thing that I can't help see here is the fact that they were praying. Cornelius got the message or the vision when he was what? Praying, fasting and praying. Peter got the dream or the trance while he was, I think, praying. And so prayer is another aspect of this. Why was it that God could just pour out his Spirit upon them as Peter spoke the word? Well, here was a people that were ready to receive. Sometimes we come into a meeting, even here at camp, back home. We've got so many things on our minds. We've got so many, maybe on the way to church, someone cut you off in the car. Or maybe your wife and kids weren't so happy with you that morning. Never happens to me. Only when I drive fast to church because we're late, right? But we come, and then we come into God's presence, and okay, God, we're here at church, and whew, we made it. And I know God can come, and I'm not saying that. That's not my point. But if we came in faith, and we said, God, what are you going to do this morning? Are you going to speak to me? We're here before you, dear God, to hear what you want to say to us. We're here before you that you would change us. Lord, we want to hear from you. Yes. Our sister spoke of God's word. God, we want that word of God to enter into our hearts. And so Peter, he declares this wonderful message about Jesus. And I love that verse, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And this Jesus they slew and hung on a tree, but God raised him up. And here's another thing he tells us about Jesus. This is the one that God has ordained to be the judge of the living and the dead. Hallelujah. We're going to stand before him one day. And it's not about all the good things you've done in life. It's not about whether the good things outweigh the bad things. But it's about what you've done with the judge. What have you done with Jesus? Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you have made this way of salvation for everyone, Jew and Gentile. And when the Holy Spirit falls upon them, they don't know what to do with it. I mean, the Jews that are there, they're like, what's going on? How could this be? I mean, this is a Jewish thing. And God is saying, no, it's not. No, it's not. It's for everyone. It's for whosoever will. Peter said that on the day of Pentecost. Whoever the Lord our God shall call. And so God pours out his Spirit upon these who are assembled in Cornelius' household. And they're baptized in water. They're baptized in the Holy Spirit. God does a miraculous work. And what I like about this and the stories we've been looking at Acts, you know, we try to formulate things about God. We try to formulate things about the Holy Spirit. We formulate things about Jesus, and we kind of build our set of doctrines and teachings. But really, God can't be defined. He can't be put in a box. He can't even be formulated properly. And so God does what God does without our necessarily understanding always his ways. And so here, it was different again. In Acts chapter 8, Peter and John came down and laid their hands upon them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Here, Peter's just speaking, and the Holy Spirit falls. The day of Pentecost, they were just together praying in one accord, and the Holy Spirit comes. God moves as he desires to move when he finds a people that are seeking for him, whose hearts are prepared to receive him. The other day we sang in the palace, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king." Now the next phrase is the phrase that's so important. Let every heart prepare him. What's the next word?
Room.
Do you have room in your heart for Jesus? Do you have room in your heart for him to be your king? Joy to the world, the Lord is come. And so may he begin his reign in us. May our hearts be prepared to receive him. Let's just bow our heads. At the beginning of this year, I came across a little book by Brother Tozer. And it was entitled, How to Be Filled with the Holy Spirit. And as I picked it up and read it, it really wasn't an how-to book. But it was a book about what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he said this, one thing that stood out to me was this. He says, we pray and we ask God to fill us with his Holy Spirit, but do we really want him to do it? And this was his thought. When the Holy Spirit comes and fills us, then he is the one that is in control. He is the one that is in charge. We no longer belong to ourselves. He comes. He reigns. He fills us as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Do we really want that? Lord Jesus, help us to want your reign, the reign of Christ, in our lives. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Deliver us from ourselves. Empty us. Make room for yourself. Empty us so that you can fill us. Lord, prepare our hearts to receive the blessing that you have reserved for those whose hearts are yielded and clean. Lord, we thank you that you are no respecter of persons, that you have no favorites, as it were. Lord, each one of us can experience you in all your fullness. And so, Lord, we come this morning and we bow our hearts and ask you to have your way in our lives. Oh, let the Holy Spirit fall upon us.
Father, we thank you for these words that we heard this morning. We pray that you will help us to hunger and thirst after righteousness and want you to fill us and want you to lead us and want you to take over our lives. Lord, we give ourselves to you and we pray, Lord, that you will help us to have open minds to hear the word of God and to do it in dear name's sake.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing again that song that's on the back of your little booklet, Channels Only. Sing the remaining verses. Empty that thou shouldest fill me, a clean vessel in thy hand, with no power but as thou givest graciously with each command. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour, witnessing thy power to save me, setting free from self and sin, thou who bought me to possess me. In thy fullness, Lord, come in. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us,
thou canst use us
every day and every hour. Jesus, fill now
with thy spirit.
Hearts that full surrender know that the streams of living water
from our inner man may flow.
Channels only, blessed Master, but with all use us every day and every hour. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. David, pray with us.
Dear Jesus, we thank you for what we have heard today. I pray that throughout this day that you will be with us and that you will help us to feel your presence. Please help us to also be expectant that you could fill us at any moment of the day. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you.